The Museum of Fine Arts St. Petersburg opened in 1965. It is, unless I'm mistaken, you know, the longest lived art gallery in the entire city. I remember going there on a field trip when I was in maybe the fifth grade or something. My name is Bill DeYoung. This is Arts Alive, and I'm happy to introduce Claudio Rodriguez, who is the new executive director and CEO of the Museum of Fine Arts St. Petersburg.
Thank you for having me, Bill. Thrilled to be here.
You were just telling me you came in October. You brought a hurricane with you.
I brought a couple of hurricanes with me. But,
yeah.
I brought Milton, you know, right piggyback when I drove down from New York. I did the road trip from New York City to St. Pete, and my first day on the job was a Monday before Milton came in. And, you know, my first executive decision at the museum was, what can I do to stay out of you guys' way while you prepare this museum for a hurricane?
And they had just been through Helene.
We had just been through Helene, you know, just so you have an idea what this entails. As you know, the museum is on the bay, and all the works are in the lower level of the museum. So these fantastic well-oiled machine came in, and they removed every single work of art, moved it up to higher ground.
Wow.
And they reinstalled everything. And then Milton came and they had to do the exercise all over again.
Did water get in the building?
No.
At all?
We were fortunate. We suffered no damage from either storm. I'm being sympathetic for everyone else that did, because we've heard some terrible stories, including some of our staff who was highly affected. But fortunately, the museum, you know, survived pretty well. But yeah, my first day on the job was sandbagging. I said, you know,
that's not what I signed up for.
Let me stay out of you guys' way. Let me go and see what I can do the least amount of damage. And and I ended up in sandbag duty. So that was my welcome to the MFA.
Well, you came from the Bronx Museum of Art.
Yes, sir.
Which I will be honest and say I don't know anything about, but I love that area. And my wife's from Briarcliff, so we have some. Sure. I have a little bit of New York in me. Tell me about that. You were there for 7 years.
Correct.
You were executive director when you took this job.
Yes.
Describe the place to me. And there's a lot of art museums in New York. Why would people go to the Bronx Museum? What was special about it?
Yeah. Well, you know, there is a lot of art museums, but there's only one Bronx Museum. We were the museum of the borough of the Bronx. So the city of New York has several borough museums, the Brooklyn Museum, the Bronx Museum, uh-huh. Staten Island Museum, the Museum of Manhattan. I mean, so we're one of the major borough museums. We focus mainly on contemporary art, post-1970, but really the focus on the museum was really about equity and access, and that's a lot of the work that we did was about social justice, equity, and access, and really engaging the communities of the South Bronx, which, as you may or may not know, you know, even till today, the South Bronx is the poorest congressional district in the United States, and, you know, the Bronx has suffered for a long, tortured history, you know, of, you know, flux, but we saw ourselves as that community center, that community point to bring people in, to have dialogue, to have discussions. And
how do you do that? I mean, this is outreach.
It was just a ton of community outreach, really generating programs that, you know, were of quality, of course, mm-hmm. exhibitions and programs that really connected, though, that were contextual to the community that we were serving.
Yeah.
So, I mean, my mandate, which is very much the same here, is to, you know, bring the best possible work that we can representative, but really frame it within the context of community and the community they're working with, and how we engage and how we open it up to a broader audience and mm-hmm. have these conversations. So we worked very hard, and I think we were very successful at doing that.
So you see a job opening. Was it sort of time to move on? And I think I'll apply for this thing in Florida.
No, it didn't quite work out that way, frankly. I was in New York. I was, frankly, perfectly happy being in New York. I mm-hmm. mean, you know, if you're a leader in the arts, New York is the place to be. I mean, there's not much better places.
Sure, I can see that.
Pardon me?
I can see that.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So, you know, and to frankly get a job as an executive director in a museum in New York City is not an easy challenge or an easy task. So all that to say is I wasn't necessarily looking to leave New York. I had a search firm reach out to me and ask, you know, present this opportunity to me. I'll be candid. I didn't know much about St. Pete. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm originally from Miami, but Miami's probably closer to New York than St. Pete is to Miami in some ways. So I wasn't very familiar with St. Pete. I had some ideas in my mind of what St. Pete was or mm-hmm. could, you know.
What kind of ideas did you have in your mind?
Well, you know, look, you know, you have the ideas of St. Pete as a place where you go to the beach, you know, a place that, you know, retirement. Mm-hmm, you had all these sort of set ideas in your head, especially, you know, thinking 25 years back when I was down in Miami.
Right. Well, you didn't think it had a thriving art community.
No, I was familiar with some of the museums. I had been to Dalí many years before. I had come to the MFA.
Yeah.
But this is about, I'd say 10, 12 years ago. So I had some peripheral, you know. Ultimately, they said, just talk to them and see what, you know, what they have to say. And you tell them what your vision is for the place. And we had, with the committee and the board, I had some really, really dynamic, interesting conversations. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I was telling them what I would seek to do. And yeah. they seemed excited about what I brought to the table. And then they said, come down. Come down and check it out for yourself. See what's happening here. I did my secret shopper and I came in a few days early, you know, and walked around the
wearing
city.
Wearing sunglasses and a big floppy hat, right?
Quiet, you know, yeah. with my hoodie on in 120 degree weather in the middle of July.
Oh, yeah, look at that guy.
And, you know, I asked around town, I walked around, and I was, you know, beyond pleased. I mean, you know, there was clearly this investment in culture in the city. You know, you had all these incredible museums everywhere. Yeah. You see the mural projects, you see all these art spaces. And I said, well, you know, this is a place that really values and sees the importance of culture and the life of the community. Mm-hmm. And that was something that was really, really, really exciting to me. And then also there is a shift demographically, right? And there's this desire from people that are coming from different places and an expectation of quality cultural offerings,
it
right?
It has changed a lot.
And it's not to compare, but it reminded me of Brooklyn in some ways. All these little coffee shops and funky shops and bookstores, and it had this incredible energy that was, you know, it's infectious. And I said, I can, you know what? I can, you know, I think I can do something here, and I can, you know, activate some change in the way that I see, you know, where the city is going and where I can help take it. So it was exciting. And that at that point, you know, we had a very tough decision to make. You know, I sat with my wife and we discussed. And then, of course, there's the other part, which is, you know, the quality of life here is fantastic. I got to tell you that I think the biggest surprise has not been the investment in culture. It's been the community. It's incredible how welcoming and you know, engaged people have been. You know, I feel like I've been here for much longer than I've actually have been here.
St. Petersburg will do that. Yeah. We'll do that to you. The person who preceded you in the job, there were some issues. You know, there's a bumpy road after Kristen Shepherd left, yeah. and there was an interim. We don't need to talk about that. But what did the board say to you? We need to get some things back on track. Or what did they say to you?
Well, you know, in fairness to the board, they understood that there needed to be some change. But they were willing to listen and see what I had to say from my perspective, from the outside perspective. And again, I came in, I did my assessment of the museum. You know, talking about present or past, or, you know, I'm a forward thinker. I like to think of the future. I'm always excited about what the possibilities that we can bring to the table, what we can actually do here. So when I thought about this, you know, they didn't delve into necessarily so much historical part of the museum or how we've been. It was more about what we can potentially be.
That's what you have to do.
Right? Exactly. Yeah. And that's, you know, and that's the way I've approached every job. It's like, okay, well, we're here. You know, it has this legacy. It's this strong foundation. How do I use those things that are there and take it to the, you know, towards the future and think about the things that we've done well and the things that perhaps we haven't done as well and how we improve upon those things. Mm-hmm. And I go back to saying, well, you know, when I interviewed and I spoke to the committee that was doing the process, I just told them what I wanted and I thought was important for this community and this museum moving forward. And they were excited. And we didn't pretend to do anything else or be anything else other than what we were, you know, what I was offering. And they were super receptive to that conversation.
That's good. Do you think, throw this out there, that the MFA has maybe not an image problem, but, you know, living in the shadow of the Dolly Museum, which is like the big gorilla in the room, you know, you've got this encyclopedic collection of art over there. Is that something that you deal with? Like, oh, maybe people don't know about how cool this place is.
Well, 100%.
Yeah.
And we want to also make it cooler.
Oh, okay.
Make it more fun, right?
That's what you said at the board. I'm going to make it cooler.
We're going to make it more cool. We're going to bring some New York flavor to this thing. But, you know, it's funny. You say something, and I think about things a little bit differently. And I don't know, maybe it's just, you know, the way that I've worked in the past and thinking about New York. And, you know, you want to talk about big gorillas, you know. Mm-hmm.
It's a whole zoo up there. Yeah, you know, okay, right.
Moments of the world. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I never saw it as competition. I saw it as being additive, right? How do we all sort of play in the same playground and actually make each other better by that type of collaborative spirit. And I bring a lot of collaborative spirit to the work that I do, and I want to engage further with all the institutions. I want to create partnerships with you know, many of the players here in the community. But I didn't necessarily see it that way, but I definitely saw that the MFA needed a refresh. There is a perception, certainly, and I think every museum is set on some type of perception. The museum is Dali's perceived a certain kind of way, and the MFA is perceived a certain kind of way. Look, I'm told, you know, I'm consistently asked about my vision. I don't know if you want me to go down this path.
Tell me about your vision, Claudia.
But you know, I'm a firm believer that vision is built upon, you know, the talents of a lot of people, right? Talking about the staff that I have in the museum, the community that we have. And I've been very, very deliberate about spending the time that I've been here right now is getting to know the community, really getting to connect, understand the context, understand where we've been to know where we're going. Yeah. But more importantly, you know, it was, you know, when I talk about going back to vision, is this idea of like three-legged stool right now. So I don't want to talk specifically about programs or exhibitions necessarily, but about the ethos of what we're doing. And one of the three things was to build trust, right? To build trust within the community, to build trust within our supporters, to build trust within the staff, to sort of build trust that this museum is here for you. Second is community. How do we engage our broader communities here? How do we start to really look into different diverse communities, all those concentric circles, and what does that mean as far as community is involved and how we engage differently? And that goes, you know, not just with our exhibitions, but the type of programs we're presenting, right? Mm-hmm. And how we look at diverse audiences and bringing in different conversations into the museum.
Yeah.
And then three, and more importantly to me, and it might be super facile, but it's fun. How do we have fun with it? How do we make people feel like the MFA is a fun place to be? Mm-hmm. It's a cool place to be. It's a place that you want to be at. Though we're doing things that are fun and exciting and engaging while educational and you know, and bringing the world-class type of programming you want to do. But it's really about trust, community, and fun. And once we start to sort of build off of that foundation, I think everything else will sort of start to form. And I think that that's what I've been you know, consistently preaching to my staff as we think about future, you know, engagement.
I would never have associated the word fun with an art museum. But I see the way things are changing, you know, today. I want to say today, contemporaneously, that there are different kinds of programming in museums now. Music. The Imagine Museum did some sort of comic book thing, and then they tied it into art, of course. But I thought that was so. What do you mean by fun? Are we bringing a circus in? What, you know,
well, look, if the exhibition calls for it, maybe, right?
You heard it here first, folks.
No, I joke, but no, I mean, look, it's again that it's engaging, that it's, you know, you think of, you know, I think of cities like this where there's so many opportunities to engage in different things, you know, so many things to do, right? You know, so many options to places to visit, things to experience. And what makes you want to go to a museum? And right, so again, using fun as an umbrella word, but really something that's engaging, something that's worth your time, worth your effort, worth your energy, and to also revisit the museum and make it that place where you want. You know what? We want to have a good experience, educate ourselves, learn something new, have fun doing it, you know, engaging in different ways. That's what I mean by fun. So, and you know what? If the exhibition calls for something, you know, don't commit me on this, but we were talking about this artist who was a wrestler, and my curator is like, how about if we did a wrestling ring? I'm like, hey, that's fine. You know,
you heard it here first.
You heard it here first. No, I'm kidding. But, you know, but the idea is, how do you create connections between the art and what a person that perhaps is not as well-versed in art can connect? And how do you start to make those connections through different means and different avenues? And oftentimes those things are fun.
They had you probably heard about this. It was, I think, during right before the pandemic, they had a huge exhibition about that tied into the performing arts with all kinds of different artwork from different years and sort of marketing art and all sorts of things. But there were live performances too going on in the museum, and it was tragically really cut short by the pandemic because it was brilliant stuff. The opera company would do these recitals in there. They had little bands in there, you know, but it was multifaceted and fascinating. And I think that's kind of what you're talking about.
Yes, absolutely. And it's funny, something that you said before, and I could have, and again, don't quote me on it. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I think of, you know, when oftentimes when we speak of the museum and they speak about it as an encyclopedic museum, what does that actually mean in this context? You know, and you think of encyclopedic museums like the Met, you know, or sort of these large Chicago, you know, Art Institute, et cetera. And I say, well, we're not clearly at that level as mm-hmm. far as our collections are concerned. You know, we have really good examples of several periods in time. Mm-hmm. But the other part, when I think of encyclopedic, is it seems to be creates a bit of a barrier. It comes across as something very serious, very sort of scholarly in some way, right? And then I haven't quite formulated the word yet, mm-hmm. you know, and how I'm going to sort of frame this. But the idea of encyclopedic is just that: is that we, as an institution, as opposed to other museums perhaps in town that are sort of fixed on maybe a certain artist or a certain collection or a certain moment in time. We have the whole entire breadth of human creativity at our disposal and the whole entire breadth of media at our disposal. So mm-hmm. we can engage with dance and music and performance and poetry and everything that human creativity entails, right?
Sure.
And then we can look at art the same way across all times and spaces.
You've got some really old stuff in there.
Yeah, but how do we also make those more contextual, right, and more contemporary? How do we make conversations around those pieces that connect with our audiences in different ways? And again, you know, how do we bring other disciplines into the mix to tell these stories?
Tell me about your staff. You got, I mean, Stanton, you've got some great people working over there.
We have some fantastic staff. Absolutely. You know?
And everybody, I assume, has ideas that they would bring to you or say, let's do this. What do you think of this?
Yeah, and I encourage that, frankly. Mm-hmm. I've one of the things that I've done as I walked in the building was, first, of course, you know, we need to add staff. We need to build the staff as it sits. But looking at the staff that was there, I wanted to empower them. Mm-hmm. I wanted to give them a voice to come up, to think big, frankly, to come up with great ideas. I'm a firm believer, you have great ideas, people will support them. You will fund them. You will find ways to support and fund these things. Also, what I did with the staff is create a more dynamic environment where everybody comes to the table to have conversations around the kind of programs we want to do. I want diverse perspectives to come into this mix to talk about it. Instead of being sort of a top-down approach where the curator says, okay, this is something that's interesting to me, and you know, and you sort of build marketing or education around it, we have these bi-weekly meetings now. We sit down and we talk about ideas. We ideate. Mm-hmm. We talk about how we develop these ideas. If they're, you know, and based on some rubric, right? Why in this museum? Why now? Why is it important? Why should we be doing this today? What are we trying to say? Why are we, how are we additive? So we ask all these questions of ourselves as we move forward. And, you know, as we move, again, towards the future and we start to do these things, you know, I think you'll see a marked difference in the way that they engage with our audiences because of these conversations that are happening now at the, you know, the foundational level.
Well, the other thing is, you know, you don't want to, I think this is sort of a duh moment. I mean, it goes without saying that you don't want to bring in the circus. You're still like an institution that has a mission, which is fine art.
Right.
You know, so you don't want to sort of, you know, bring the carnival to town.
No, of course not. And you know, and that's the thing. I mean, it's all built on the backbone of who we are as an institution, certainly, right? But again, you know, sort of peel that back. Of course, we don't want to bring the carnival into town, but it's sort of thinking about how you make things more accessible, right? How you engage in better ways. How do you have the conversation that's not so framed in, again, it's not that this has happened necessarily, but you know, there's a perception that when you go into a museum of that type, you go in there to see something on a wall,
and
on a label, and there's an education aspect to it, and then you walk out, right? And I'm just proposing that we need to be able to tell stories in new ways, in more engaging ways. You know, and that includes bringing in technology, that includes bringing in different voices, that includes bringing in a variety of different expertise that not necessarily are traditionally employed in that way. So We're going to use all the tools that are arsenal at our, you know, to move it forward.
So I know you don't want to talk about specific exhibitions, and the traveling exhibitions always fascinate me. But what can you say about what will happen in 2025?
Well, 2025, we are actually right about to close our Audubon's Birth of America exhibition.
I like that. That was very nice.
Well, thank you. That came from some of the galleries in Scotland. It's a traveling exhibition. We are about to open March 8th. an exhibition called Kimono, the Art of Japanese Dress. Mm-hmm. And this is from two private collections with this fantastic, actually local, regional collections of kimono dresses. We are displaying well over 100 kimono dresses, and we're looking at the cultural implications of the kimono dress, but also looking at the crafts behind them. So this is part of what I'm talking about. It's, you know, so we talk about what role they played culturally, but also the aspect of creation, right, and how these were built and how they're put together, and the process behind it. And we're trying to connect it in different ways. So now I almost look at it as a fashion show in some ways, right? Thinking about it in those terms, create a little bit more of an accessible experience with this. And I'm super excited the way the curators have been thinking about it. And we're I encourage you to visit the website. We're doing a lot of programming around this exhibition to celebrate Japanese culture, to celebrate, you know, this work. We're going to do family events. We're going to have across a broad, you know, scope of different types of engagements. So please visit the site as we're starting to populate it there soon. And then we're also looking at an exhibition with Nina Yankowitz, who's a Brooklyn-based artist from New York, and this is going to be her first career retrospective. We're super excited. It's been organized by Catherine Pill, our contemporary art curator at the museum.
Oh, yeah, she's been in here before.
Catherine's fantastic. And this is, you know, long in the making. This is a feminist artist who's been working in New York for now 6 decades, and it was a time to really course correct and really put her where she belonged,
sure.
You know, and something that we're really excited about. This opens in June 21st. And then we're actively planning beyond that, as some of these exhibitions were already in the process. But, mm-hmm. you know, this is our, as you mentioned, 1965. This is our 60th anniversary.
Hey, it is.
It is.
Hey.
And so we are, you know, trying to put together some exciting things come the fall. So maybe you'll have to invite me back to talk about those.
We definitely will do that. I did want to say that the website, which you mentioned, is mfastpete.org.
Correct.
Org.
So we are, you know, we're looking at a lot of our programs. We're starting to activate a lot of things that were dormant, our Thursday evening after hour program. So mm-hmm. we have a lot of new programs coming online. Our music series has started once again.
That Marley Room is a great asset. The Marley Music Room.
Marley Music. We've just restarted Marley Music as well. So
yeah.
We are, you know, we're running as we start to put it together and get things started. So we're going to refine as we go, but it was really important for me to really start to open it back up and to allow, you know, all these programs to start to formulate. But well, we're continue to refine.
So, are you comfortable now? You've been here what, 4 months? You feel like, yeah, I can work with this.
Oh yeah, oh absolutely. I was comfortable day one. It's been
except for that pesky hurricane.
Well, you know what's funny is that it feels like now finally is when I actually get to work. Right? I walked in, I walked into one hurricane, and then the next hurricane. Then you had Thanksgiving, then you had the holiday break, then you had New Year's. So it was a lot of, and I had a lot of traveling in between to try to get some things, you know.
Now it's time to like knuckle down and get to work.
To get some work, you know, started. So I'm excited. But, you know, no, it's been, look, like I said, the community's been fantastic. Everybody's been so incredibly welcoming. The staff is excited. Everybody's ready to, you know, raring to go. The board has been incredibly supportive. So I have nothing but positive things to say, and I'm thrilled to be here. I'm confident that that we're going to do great things very, very soon.
So. I'm looking forward to it, and you definitely need to come back here later on as things start to, you know.
Oh,
I'm sure there's something I'm going to be calling and saying, we got to talk about
you
this.
You got to invite me as much as you want me. I'm here. And that's the other thing that I learned about St. Pete. Distances are very short.
That's right.
My commute here from the museum was about 3 minutes.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
So that was fantastic. You know, I'm used to New York commutes, which, you know, you got to allocate an hour and a half for you know, anything. So,
yeah, welcome to St. Petersburg.
Thank you.
Our guest has been Claudia Rodriguez, who is the executive director and CEO of the Museum of Fine Arts St. Petersburg, which is 60 years old here in 2025. And
come celebrate with us.
Yeah, lots of exciting things coming up. My friend, thank you so much
for
being here.
Thank you for having me.